Hallelujah. Well, I know most of you are probably looking forward to the time of fellowship and the Thanksgiving dinner we're going to be having after the service, but before we do that, we need to feast upon the Word of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because this is what feeds the soul. And we desperately need the Word of God, especially in this time we are living in right now. You have people walking around trying to find solutions for all of their problems, and what they don't realize is if they would just turn to God, if they would just look to the Lamb of God, if they would just open this book, they would find the answers they so desperately need. What this world needs more than anything is Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Praise God. I'm putting a title on this message today. We're calling this message, Thanks Be to God. Thanks be to God. And today I hope to remind all of you to be thankful for what God has done for us. And he's really done more for us than we sometimes think of. And if you stop and ponder it for a while, you might realize, yes, he's done more than I even thought. So we're calling this Thanks Be to God. We're going to be opening to Psalm 30 to begin with. And we're going to pray before we read even one verse. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this day, thanking thee for thy goodness and thy mercy towards thy people. We thank thee for all that thou hast done, for thy many blessings that thou hast poured out upon thy people. We thank thee for the gift of salvation, for we know that we would be lost without thee. We know that we could do nothing without thee, but we would be mere, helpless, mortal human beings. Thou hast taken us, thou hast changed us, and thou art continuing the perfecting process. We pray, Lord, that each and every heart here today would be submitted unto thee. Let our attention and our focus be firmly upon thee. Let there be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign and almighty God. There is none beside thee. There is none like thee. And there is no name greater than that almighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, you might find yourself in a situation sometimes, and hopefully not us so much, but people have this tendency to become very discontent with life. And sometimes they might even wonder, what do I have to be thankful for? Everything in my life is going wrong. What do I have to be thankful for? Well, number one, you woke up this morning. That is a gift. Every time your heart beats, that is a gift. Every time you breathe, that is a gift. The fact that you are alive today is a gift. We don't know how many more days we have. Life is fleeting, but thankfully the life to come won't be. The life to come is everlasting. Nevertheless, our time on this terrestrial ball is very short. Even if you live longer than the average human, even if you live to be 120 years old, that is just a very tiny piece on a small piece of eternity that was measured out by God. And that piece of eternity is called time. But our lives are just a very tiny piece of that time. We should wake up every morning thankful for another opportunity to serve the Lord, for another opportunity to bask in his presence, for another opportunity to behold his wondrous creation. And you know what? There's something that each and every one of us have in common here today. Maybe we don't think about this very often, but we're all survivors. The fact that you are here today means that you are a survivor. I know many of us have been in car accidents. And of course, that sounds a bummer, but you walked away from it. You survived. Many of us have been to the hospital. But you're here today. That means you survived. And we survived the Great Recession of 2008. We survived COVID-19. We're in Wisconsin. We've survived very harsh winters. We've survived tornadoes. We've survived illnesses. We've survived so much. God has brought us through so much, and that is something that we should be eternally thankful for. That is why I want to start with Psalm 30 this morning, because Psalm 30 is not only a psalm of thanksgiving, but it is a psalm about survival. Psalm 30, beginning with verse 1, tells us, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. That word extol means to highly praise. And of course, it's good to praise the Lord, but when you extol the Lord, you're taking it up a notch. It's high praise. It's deep praise. It's heartfelt praise from your innermost being. Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. You know, we can say the same thing. The Lord has kept us. We're here today because we survived. We've survived so much more than we really think of. This world is so full of pitfalls and dangers at every side. Every day when you get into your car and you drive down the road, you're putting your life at risk. But thankfully, the Lord goes with you. But this world is filled with dangers, and yet he has kept us, he has sustained us, and the psalmist here is realizing that very thing. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. In other words, the grave. Verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanksgiving at the remembrance of his holiness. When you remember his greatness, when you remember his holiness, when you remember all that he has done, that should fill you with such gratitude that you want to sing to the Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
And give thanks to the Lord when you remember all that he has done. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We've all endured things that I'm sure have caused weeping, things that have caused sorrow, and yet here we are. Maybe you wept for a night, but there was that morning that came when joy returned. And of course, we know that God has promised to pour out his joy upon all his people, so that even as we're living in this dark world, this sin-infested world, we can still be filled with the joy of Almighty God. Verse 6, and in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. You know, sometimes it feels like God is far away. But you can always get close to the world, close to the Lord. He fills this whole world. He fills this universe. He's not as far away as he might seem sometimes. When you start worshiping the Lord, when you praise the Lord, when you read his word, when you call out to him in faith, when you seek his face, he will reveal himself to you. Verse 8, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. You don't have to be afraid to ask the Lord to do that for you, to be your helper. He's there, and he's ready to help you.
Amen.
Verse 11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. He can take your mourning and turn it into joy. He can take your mourning and turn it into a joyful song. He can take your mourning and turn it into dancing. Verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
Praise
God. And when we get to heaven, you're going to have plenty of opportunity for that. Yes, the psalmist realized something very important. He was a survivor because God was with him. God sustained him. God was the one keeping him alive. And God has kept all of us alive to this day for whatever purpose he has ordained. I firmly believe that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And if you're wondering what that purpose is, don't be afraid to ask him. He's able to show us. Yes, we are survivors. In fact, we're going to turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What is it that keeps us going? What is it that we have that is so special? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is going to tell us a little bit about that. Verse 1 tells us, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. What keeps us going? The mercy of God. In fact, it is the mercy of God that we get up every morning, that we're still here, that he has kept us. And by his mercy, we faint not. By his mercy, he gives us the strength to do what needs to be done. By his mercy, he gives us the strength to do things that we never thought we'd do. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You have to be careful in this world because there are a lot of people out there who like to expound upon the word of God, but they use the word of God deceitfully. And one of the things you have to watch out for is when they skip parts of it. If there are parts of the Bible that they won't touch, that's a huge red flag. Because in order to fully understand the context of God's word, you need the whole counsel of God. You need this entire book. We need to embrace Genesis through Revelation. We need to believe what it says, and we need to lay it to heart.
Amen.
Then when something is said that doesn't line up with the word of God, you'll know, because you know the word of God. And if you ever come across with something that just doesn't seem right or doesn't feel right, we have this book and we can search the scriptures. We can compare what people are taught to the word of God. And remember, let God be true and every man a liar. This book is always right. We don't get to just pick and choose what we want and the parts we like. We have to take the whole thing. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What drives us as Christians? It is the gospel, the good news. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died for our sins. He was buried and rose again after 3 days and three nights and is alive forevermore and has promised us the gift of eternal life. That is the good news. That is the gospel. Amen. And you don't want to hide that under a bushel. Let your light shine. Let the gospel shine forth through you. And you know, sometimes you can let the gospel shine without even saying a word. People can realize there's something different about you. And sometimes it's not so much by what you say, but by what you don't say. They might realize that there are certain words that never come out of your mouth. They notice that, and they might start to wonder why. And they might notice that there's certain things you don't do, and they might start to wonder why. They're going to notice there's something different about you, and who knows, one day they might ask you about it. And if they do, that's a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, notice here, God there is a little g. That's not referring to God Almighty. That's not referring to our Savior. But God of this world actually refers to Satan in this context. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We see here that the devil likes to come along and blind the minds of people. That's a different kind of blindness from physical blindness. You know, sometimes our eyes don't work the way we want them to. But to be spiritually blind is far more severe. And it is the devil who comes along and makes people that way. He blinds the minds of the people. And if someone has a blind mind, you might try to reason with that person, and you'll find that you can't. Why? Because their mind is blind. Their understanding is darkened. And all you can do in that situation is turn that person over to God, continue to pray for them, and ask the Lord to have a breakthrough. Because God is the only one who can open our hearts and our minds. He's the only one that can break through that barrier. And thank God he broke through that barrier for each and every one of us. And today we know who our Savior is. And we know how we can be saved. And yes, Jesus is the image of God. Without Jesus, God would be completely invisible. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You see, this is what it takes to break through that barrier when people have a blind mind. You'll find that you as a person can't break through that barrier, but God can, and this is how he does it. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, this is the same God who in the book of Genesis said, let there be light, and suddenly there was light in the darkness. He spoke it into existence. Hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We were oblivious to the knowledge of the glory of God until that light shined out of darkness into our hearts. And that is what made all the difference. Now we know the glory of God because it has been revealed by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. We can relate to that to this day. You know, you would think, well, based on what they tell us, we've progressed so much in this world. There's so much modern technology to help us and to make life easier. Have just knowing that, it seems like life is supposed to be getting better, doesn't it? But it's not. In fact, the opposite is happening. This world is getting worse. The scriptures warned us that would happen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see that happening all the time. There's a progression there. Even as society advances, although society might actually be advancing towards collapse, because things right now are falling apart on many different levels. You know, we have such high inflation in this country, and they're talking about a recession next year. So many economists and experts and billionaires. And I saw on the news yesterday that over in the United Kingdom, the central bank there, the Bank of England, they're warning that it could be the worst recession they ever have over there. So all of these predictions of a global recession, we see it's starting to come to pass. But you know what? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Why? Because we know that even in the midst of all this trouble, God is with us and he will never forsake us. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We see things sometimes that boggle our minds. Things happen in this world that just don't make sense, but we are not in despair because we know the Lord. Persecuted, but not forsaken. As Americans, we've been extraordinarily blessed, although there is some hostility to Christianity, and that seems to be growing and swelling. We still have been extraordinarily blessed in this country because we can come here, we can gather together, nobody's here trying to stop us, the sheriff isn't beating down the door, there aren't soldiers out there looking to haul us away. We can open the Word of God, we can study it, we can absorb it, and we are so blessed. But we need to remember that we have other Christian brothers and sisters around the world who do not have that privilege. They are at risk each and every day. They are threatened each and every day by persecution. And yet, those people, so many of them, still stay faithful and true to God. Christianity has always thrived in the face of persecution. Nero Caesar, the Roman Empire, they tried to wipe it out. But here we are, we're still here. We're still here because those early Christians endured. We're still here because so many of them were willing to give their lives for the cause of Christ so that they could share that glorious gospel. They had the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They went and they told others. And those people, they went and they told others. And they told others right down the line until someone told you. That truly is a wonderful thing to remember. And as such, even when we're perplexed, we're not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. You might have some days where you feel low. You might have some days when you're struggling. You might have some days when you feel cast down. But you are not destroyed. The fact that you're here today goes to show you are not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. We don't enjoy suffering. But you know what? If you're going to suffer for anything, suffer for the cause of Christ. After all of the suffering he endured for us, it is a privilege to suffer for the cause of Christ. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to happen in this country. They talk about a lot of things. They talk about a civil war. They talk about World War III. They talk about a lot of pain that's coming. But through it all, the Lord is right there with us. He suffered for us. Therefore, we should be able to suffer for him. I know we have been extraordinarily blessed so far. But even if that changes, we must be willing to fully and completely surrender our lives to God. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. All of that persecution, all of their struggles, all of that death that they had to face brought life to us. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Why do we keep going? What makes us tick? The knowledge that the Lord Jesus has lifted us up. The knowledge that he is with us to the very end. The knowledge that we have eternal life with him. And because Jesus rose from the dead, he will raise us from the dead also. And that is something to be thankful for. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That word redound is interesting. In fact, as far as I know, this is the only place we find it in the entire Bible. What does that word redound mean? Redound means to exceed a fixed number of measure, to be left over and above a certain number or measure. In other words, it's an abundance. A thing which comes in abundance or overflows unto one. Or it just means to come back or reflect upon a person. When we are thankful to God, when we offer up praises of thanksgiving, when we offer up worship of thanksgiving to God, that reflects the grace of God which has been poured out upon us. The abundant grace. And that thanksgiving makes us more cognizant of all that God has done. That thanksgiving puts our minds right. And it is so important. Thanksgiving is not just a day on the calendar. It's not just something we do once or twice a year. I know we have our church Thanksgiving dinner, and of course we'll have family Thanksgiving later this month, but Thanksgiving is not just one day. In fact, it should be a state of being for us. We should be in a state of thankfulness for all that God has done, so that the abundant grace by which he has saved us can redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. You know what? When you're thankful, when you offer God those prayers of thanksgiving, the worship of thanksgiving, the praise of thanksgiving, That strengthens you.
Amen.
For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this is a marvel to me. The Apostle Paul, a man who was so heavily persecuted everywhere he went, a man who suffered beatings, stoning, mocking, scoffing, imprisonment, and shipwreck, called all of that light affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know why he could say that? Because he understood that when he left this world and entered the next, all of that was going to seem so insignificant that it wouldn't even be memorable. You're not going to remember your suffering when you get to heaven, when you are in the presence of the Lord. The Lord Jesus is going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. You can read that in the book of Revelation. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know, our whole lives, really, it's like a moment in comparison to eternity. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We know that there are temporal things in this world. We know that there are temporary things in this world. But we know that the things of God that he has waiting for us in heaven are eternal. And the glory we will experience there is eternal. What makes us tick? Why do we get out of bed in the morning? Because the gospel has been given to us. Because that gospel has been revealed to us. Because of the knowledge that we are saved. And the knowledge that we have the gift of eternal life. That's why we faint not. And that's why we must be thankful for all that God has done. We owe him everything.
Amen.
Let's look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm not going to do this whole chapter today as it's quite lengthy, but it is a beautiful chapter. We will be turning to the tail end of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Of course, sleep there is in reference to death. And we understand that as Christians, when we die, our souls go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day our bodies are also going to be resurrected, they're going to be glorified, and they are going to be changed. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Yes, our physical bodies will be taken, they will be changed, they will be transformed, they will be glorified. And you will be given a special body that will never die. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Remember, our immortality comes from Jesus Christ. He is the source of it. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. People think of death as a time of great loss, but if you are a Christian, it's actually a time of victory. If you endure to the end, your death is a victory. Your death in this world, it isn't even really death. It's a transformation. You walk you walk through a doorway into eternity to be in the presence of the Lord forever. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Of course, we know that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, that sting, you don't have to feel that when you depart this world. Because the price for our sins has been paid. Payment has been remitted, and we have been set free. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You need something to thank God for today? Thank him for the victory that he has already promised you. The victory you've already experienced. The things you've already endured and survived. Yes, we're all survivors because God has allowed us to survive. And we need to thank him for that. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that is the only way you will ever have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way to attain victory in this life. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What we do for God in this life is never in vain. In fact, what we do for God in this life lays up treasures in heaven. Oh, yes, that is why we're able to get up in the morning. That is why we faint not. That is why we can keep going, because we know that we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over hell. I want to turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, and we are going to start with verse 1. Verse 1 tells us, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And what does that mean? The coming of the Lord is going to be unexpected. Just as a thief doesn't announce that he's going to come and burgle your home. God is going to show up at a time when people aren't expecting it. But if you are a Christian, you will always be ready. And so you don't even have to worry about that. In fact, it won't be a horror to you. It will be the greatest moment of your life. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, for so long they have been trying to unify the world and bring about an unnatural, artificial peace. They can't do it. Because they reject the Prince of Peace. The only way you can ever have peace is by the Prince of Peace, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why since the United Nations came along, we've had more wars than ever before. You know, you think about it, and we had World War I, and that brought about the League of Nations. Of course, the United States didn't join, so that kind of ruined their plans. Then you had World War II, and that brought about the United Nations. And if there was a third World War, which they're now talking about as a real possibility, if that happened, that could very easily bring forth an antichrist global government trying to rise up. And when that happens, they will no doubt be saying peace and safety. You know, years and years and years ago, I don't know if they still have this, but years and years and years ago, I was browsing the United Nations website, and they had a whole section on their website labeled peace and security. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, that sounds an awful lot like peace and safety. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Why? Because the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shined in our hearts. Amen. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There's a lot to watch out for. You definitely want to be sober in this period of time we're living in, because there are things we need to understand. There are things that we need to know about. Not so that we despair and fret, but so that we know that the time and the season is upon us. Verse 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. What's going to get you through all that must be endured? The breastplate of faith and love. The helmet of the hope of salvation. And if you're looking for something to be thankful for today, I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. If you want something to be thankful for, this is something to be thankful for. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been redeemed, you are not appointed unto wrath. Instead, you will obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Of course, sleeping there again refers to death in the physical world, but what he's really telling us here is whether you're alive, awake in this world, or whether you're asleep, whether your body's asleep, waiting for the resurrection, and your soul is with God in heaven, either way, we're alive. Either way. Verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And of course, that word edify means to build up. We build up one another. We need to build each other up, not tear each other down. There's far too much of that in this world. We live in a world where people are always trying to tear each other down, and that should never be in the church. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Listen, if you can't be at peace with your Christian brothers and sisters, you're not going to be at peace with anyone. We need to understand that. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. So if anybody decides to be unruly, we're going to have to give you a warning. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. That could be a tall order sometimes. There are certain things we're instructed to do in Scripture which are very hard to do. And one of them is be patient toward all men, because you are going to face people all the time who are going to test your patience and try your patience. I mean, to experience that, just drive out by Walmart. Those drivers are terrible. They are going to test your patience. But we're supposed to be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. People might wonder, how can I do that with everything that's going wrong in the world? Well, if God gives you his Spirit, if you have the Holy Ghost, you can rejoice evermore. You can rejoice every day. Pray without ceasing. And if you pray without ceasing, that's going to help you with your joy need, your need for joy. As you pray, you form a bond and a connection with heaven. You form a bond and a connection with God, and that strengthens you. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He has brought us through so much already, and we have so much to thank him for. I know times could be very difficult in the future, but he's able to sustain us and keep us and bring us to that too. And we know that if we do endure to the end, then we have the promise of salvation. But we have so much to thank him for. In fact, it says in verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You'll notice something in Scripture. God never responds well to murmuring, grumbling, and complaining, but he does respond very well to gratitude.
Amen.
Verse 19, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. These are all important. We don't want to quench the Spirit. We don't despise prophesying if they're true prophecy of God. Prove all things, and that goes along with the prophesying. You know, if you get someone who claims to be a prophet and what they're saying doesn't match up with the Word of God, I have to question whether they're really a prophet. Prove all things. And how do we do that? Compare what you are told, compare what you are taught with the Word of God. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And yes, our God is faithful. You'll never find greater stability with anyone else. And that's something to be thankful for, too. We don't serve a wishy-washy God. We don't serve an indecisive God. We don't serve a God who gets stuck and confused. We don't serve a God who doesn't know what to do. He always knows what to do each and every time. He has promised to be with his people to the very end. And you know what? If you are a Christian, that is the ultimate win-win situation. People love a win-win, where no matter what happens, you win. Well, if you're a Christian, that's a win-win situation, because to live is Christ and to die is gain. And no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39 tell us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can all be thankful for that today.
Amen.
So thanks be to God for all that he has done. And thanks be to God for all that we have to look forward to. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer, thank thee for thy holy word. We thank thee for all that thou hast done for us, and we thank thee that thou hast reached down from heaven to reveal thy gospel to us, that thou hast shined a light in our hearts so that we can be set free from the blindness of our minds. We pray, Lord, that thou would continue to work in thy people. We ask, God, that thou would bless our lives and continue to sustain in us, continue to shine that light in our hearts. We pray, Lord, that thou would help each and every one of us to be faithful and mindful of thee each and every day. Help us, O God, to be deeply appreciative of thy many blessings and thy wondrous works. Help us, O God, to walk with thee faithfully day and night for the entirety of our lives. And we pray, Lord, that thou would bless thy people who are here in this building, bless thy people who are listening online, and bless thy people who are scattered all throughout this world. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our course books in closing. We are opening to number 42. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you.